Happy Monday, everybody. We hope that you're having a great start to your week. Thanks so much for checking in with us here at the Be Our Guest podcast. We're getting ready to sit down with listener Tim to talk some Disney Cruise Line. We're cruising into June right here. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at the Wisdom of Walt. Guys, gals, Father's Day is just 2 weeks away. And if you have a Disney fan in the family, especially a dad, pick up a copy of The Wisdom of Walt. We all picture, old Uncle Walt, but he was a great father figure as well. He left us lots of lessons in how he approached life, how he approached business, and how he approached his creative side and his interaction with folks that he surrounded himself with. He tended to draw out the best in everyone around him. And in The Wisdom of Walt, you can pick up a copy and just sit down under a shade tree like Walt might have years and years gone by and pick up lots of lessons to make your personal life awesome. So drop by Amazon. You can pick up a soft copy, hardcover, audiobook, and even an ebook for the dad in your life here in the next couple of weeks. It's an easy way to get that dad in your life ready for Father's Day. Check it out today. Just drop by thewisdomofwalt.com. Today's show is also sponsored by our friends over at touringplans.com. Save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save money on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. I call this my insurance policy against the crowds on every Disney getaway. Check them out today. Support the folks who support us. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1180 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you and welcome to the first Monday of June. Hopefully you are settling in for some summer fun. And of course, as we do here on a Monday, we have great trip reports. And we are T-minus 1 month and 3 days away from the podcast cruise on the Disney Fantasy. It's a podcast meetup for 7 days, 7 nights at sea in the best location I can imagine. So we're really excited for that. So to get everybody kind of that's sailing with us going over the edge, we're going to talk Disney Cruise Line today for you. And joining me today to talk about a certain sailing on the Disney Fantasy Western Caribbean, which should sound familiar to you, we have listener Tim from up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. How's it going today, Tim?
Going great.
Hey, thanks for joining me. I love talking cruising, man. No better way to start the week. Well, I guess the best way to start the week would be to actually be on the Fantasy, but other than that, I guess we could talk about it here.
Yeah, it's super fun cruising.
All right, so let's and if you're not sailing with us on the podcast cruise or you've never sailed, hang with us because there's so many uniquely Disney experiences. You know, even if you're just a parks fan, believe it or not, I was just a parks fan at one time, and you take that first cruise and for most people you're hooked. So let's talk about your cruise. You sailed on the Fantasy back in February, correct?
Yeah, this was our second cruise. We went last year on the Disney Wonder in January of 2016 and had such a good time that we decided to do it again.
So let me ask you about the planning, you know, as far as, you know, picking a time to go. I think that's step one when it comes to cruising. You know, there's more expensive times, there's least expensive times, there's hurricane season, which doesn't usually affect the cruises more than you would think. Why did you guys pick to go in February? You guys, you know, second cruise, wanted to come back. Why pick that time of year?
Well, we're in Minneapolis, Minnesota, so we were looking to go as far south as we could in the middle of winter so that we would be someplace guaranteed to be warm.
That's a good call. We don't have it as bad here in St. Louis, but winter's miserable here too, so I could totally get that. Let me ask you about your first cruise, though. You sailed on the Wonder. This time you were on the Fantasy, so now you've been on a classic ship, then you moved to one of the Dream Class ships, one of the larger ships. You know, kind of compare the two. You know, you had that first cruise on the Wonder. What'd you think getting on the Fantasy?
I liked them both. You know, the Fantasy was a little bit bigger, but really, you know, we just had a totally fun time in either, and I wasn't bothered by the larger size of the Fantasy. It was just amazing experiences in both. So I'd go on either again.
All right, so let's talk real quick just about the Wonder and the Classic ship, because that was your first cruise, and obviously you turned right around and wanted to cruise again pretty quickly. What was the thing that stood out on your initial cruise? Because I know a lot of folks, you know, are thinking about, oh, I don't know if I want to sail at Disney Cruise Line, you know, or, you know, they're preparing for their first Disney cruise. You know, you can't go back to that first experience. What do you remember that really kind of sold you with Disney Cruise Line on that Wonder Cruise?
Well, we've been a Disney family for a long time. I mean, my wife and I were married about 15 years ago. Since our honeymoon at Disney, we've gone almost every year to Disney World. And then we decided to try the cruise, and we sailed out of Puerto Rico. And it was, part of it was, you know, just the fact that it's at that time of year and it's hot. But also, we saw so many amazing things, different parts of the world that we would never have seen before. For our kids are 10 and 12 now. So it was like on the cruise, it was the first time that they ever were able to go away from us. And my wife and I had a little bit of time to ourselves, which we never did at Disney World, really. You know, it's always the family together. And then the other huge thing for me, and being in technology, is that I'm always connected to the internet and to email and to Slack or texting. And going on the cruise kind of forces you to just be offline. Even though I went ahead and purchased the largest data package available, 1 gigabyte. And with this last trip, I kind of have this thing where I go through my emails. I get over 600 emails a day, and I just basically delete, put it in a folder to just save it for later, and then delete the rest. So I'm not really working, but I'm just making it so that when I get back, I'm not totally inundated with thousands of emails. And so this trip, it was interesting because I accidentally left my phone on the Wi-Fi with a data plan 3 days into it, and it used up all the data. So I just said, that's too bad. I'm just going to ignore everything from here on out. And so I was offline.
So you mentioned you do work in technology, like in web services and in creating websites and so forth. So you are, like you said, you're very plugged in. So when you decided to let that go after that plan expired, was it something that made you anxious? I know, because I mean, so many folks listen to podcasts are technology folks. You know, we're addicted to our mobile devices or, you know, what have you. So how was it when you decided to kind of, you know what, let's see what happens without checking that inbox a few times a day?
Yeah, well, it's a little bit, but you know, we've got smart people that work here, and I thought, you know, what's the worst case scenario is that I need to make a decision 3 days delayed. You know, it was near the end of our trip, and I just trusted the people that were back home and that everything was going to be okay.
Yeah, I totally hear you, because working in the travel industry, you know, obviously we do a lot of our work through email. You know, a lot of our guests will text us or email us, so we're very connected to be there, you know, as often as our guests need us. But when we go on vacations, you know, the agents, we cover for each other. So Jocelyn may be sitting in for my guests, or Jeanette, or somebody else. And it's one of those things. I know that they're better agents than I am. You know, I look at it that way. They're awesome. So my guests are in great hands. But it is different, because my thumb's used to hitting that little Gmail button on my phone. You know, and like I have my phone as basically a camera for a week when I'm cruising. And you know what? That's not a bad thing. I enjoy that. But then I will tell you, I totally hear your, you know, I know what you're saying, because when we come back into Port Canaveral on the last morning of the cruise, oh, do I dread hitting that button, because it's going to go for days and days and days.
I think that it really forces me to be present and not distracted. I mean, even on the cruise itself, you know, you still can text people on the boat, you know, using the free Disney app on the boat. But it's forcing you to be present with the people that you're with. And I think that's important.
And that's why you pay the bucks to sail. I mean, seriously, it's the memories you're making with the family. So make sure you do that. Great segue into the cruise. So now, this was a Star Wars cruise, which if folks don't know, the Fantasy will run these special cruises. Some of the other ships will even do Marvel Day at Sea. Unique experiences basically for one day, where it's just totally themed to that thing, you know, Star Wars or Marvel, and, you know, there's other nods to it throughout the cruise. But they typically happen in the off season. You know, like you said, you sailed in February. You know, they're not going to happen over the summer season when it's very, very popular and crowded. So did the Star Wars Day at Sea, besides, you know, the weather escaping Minnesota in the wintertime, was Star Wars something you were looking to experience on a cruise?
Well, you know, going into it, I thought, well, you know, that's kind of cool. I like Star Wars, but it wasn't like the reason I booked the cruise or anything. But coming off of the cruise, I thought that was one of the most fun things that happened, was having that Star Wars day. And, you know, and then we also did the pirate night on there as well. But in both cases, our family decided that we were going to get costumes, get in the spirit of things, and have fun. So I was Han Solo. My daughters were Darth Vader and Rey. And my wife was had a Jedi costume on. So we had fun. And it was really a great... It was kind of funny to see Darth Vader and Rey at breakfast. eating melons and things like that, you know.
That's funny. Now, I got to ask you this because I'm the father of two daughters as well. Did you assign which one was Rey and which one was Darth Vader, or was it just their personalities that they picked it themselves?
They chose that. Yeah, I probably wouldn't have chose Darth Vader for my daughter, but that's what she thought was fun, and she really got into it. So, the interesting thing there is that with kids, well, I think with adults too, they do have a rule that you can't have a mask on that covers your entire head. And so she kind of got, you know, she got stopped in the morning and said, you know, you have to take that off. But then Disney gave her a special invitation to the party in the atrium, which was a costume party. And they kind of featured her as one of the best costumes and brought her up. And so it kind of made up for the sadness of not being able to wear her costume in the morning and that kind of thing. So,
gotta love that Disney magic. I love that stuff. You know, take a situation that, you know, could turn out bad and make it into a memory, make it into a positive. Love hearing that. All right, so...
Yeah, it was funny, so, funny too, because some kids thought I was really Han Solo, and so I signed a couple of autographs and got some photos.
There you go. You need a Chewbacca following you around. You know, that'd sell it all the way. Yeah. That's awesome. You know, and I encourage people, when you go on a cruise, get a costume. Dress up, because where else can you do this? It's like the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party or the Halloween Party at the Magic Kingdom, one of those two things. You know, it's sea, but it's even more themed on the ship, so... Get in the spirit, you know, for Pirate Night. Everybody's sailing with us. Come with a pirate costume. I promise you won't feel awkward. You may feel awkward showing up in normal clothes, because they're a lot of fun. So anyway, well, these shows get away from me too fast. So let's talk about the major things that I want to hit. So embarkation in your stateroom. Was it easy getting on the ship? And what kind of stateroom did you have? And did it work out well for your family?
Yeah, it was great. The embarkation in Port Canaveral was really, tip-top, because they owned the building there, and so that was really easy. We upgraded the first cruise. We were in an interior stateroom, and this time we booked it with an exterior, with a balcony, and, you know, upgraded, and so that was a lot of fun to be able to actually go out and see the ocean right out of our room. We also did it on the port, or the starboard side, I believe, so that when we got to Castaway Key, we were actually overlooking the beach area, so we could see that from our room.
It's a good tip, because the ship, if you don't know, at Castaway Key, it kind of backs in to where the back is facing the island. And so the starboard side, for those that are the land lovers and don't, it took me a while to learn these things. I had to do that. But the starboard side would be the right side facing forward. Your port side would be your left. So, yeah, if you want to be overlooking Castaway Key and you have a veranda stateroom, try to get starboard on the ships.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about the ports here for a second, and then we'll kind of talk about the onboard activities. I enjoy that. But you guys did the Westerns. That's typically Cozumel, Grand Cayman, Jamaica, and Disney's private island, Castaway Key, with a couple of sea days thrown in there for good measure. What stood out for you as far as the ports and maybe some adventures that you guys did as a family?
Yeah, well, in Cozumel, we decided to just stay in the city, and we actually went to the shopping experience, looking for diamonds and gold watches and things like that, which I've never done before. It's not really my scene, but I thought it would be interesting to try something different. And it's not something I don't think I would do again, but we had fun. And then in Grand Cayman, we did an amphibious vehicle and the beach. So we went right into the water from the bus, basically. And they told us a funny story about a stolen car there that, you know, there's not much in Grand Cayman as far as roads, it's like one main road. And so some guy stole a car and they basically, police just waited for him at the gas station. Because there's nowhere else to go, you know what I mean?
that's a typical criminal. That sounds like a St. Louis criminal right here. They're not very smart.
Yeah. And then in Jamaica, we did the Duns River Falls, which was a little bit more dangerous than I had thought it might be. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but you're walking up a falls, and it's really quite a tourist place. But you got to be in good shape to do it.
And actually, I wanted to ask you about that, because that's one that you see. It's probably the most popular tourist adventure that you can book in Jamaica. It's always the Duns River Falls. And I've seen YouTube videos, and you're right. I had an expectation before I saw what it looked like on YouTube as something totally different than what I saw online. So you experience it now. It's one of those things that in the videos, it seems like it's a big group of people. You're kind of holding hands. Everybody's kind of making a chain, and you're kind of taking up like levels of this, you know, pretty powerful waterfall, at least, you know, but it's not like a vertical waterfall. It doesn't look like, it looks like it's more kind of stepped down. But was this something that when you got there, you said it was pretty physically demanding? I mean, was it a fun day? Was it something you would do again? Was it something you'd recommend?
I had fun, but it's definitely not, if you're like wanting to see beautiful nature, it's not something you can take photos of, because you're going to have tons of other tourists in your photo. You know, so it's not really that. It's more like a rapids adventure or something in a natural kind of setting. And so, you know, I thought it was interesting to do once. I don't think I'd do it again, but it definitely is. The most dangerous thing about it is that you're stepping into a pool of water, which you don't know how deep it is, or you could twist an ankle or something. And it is quite a kind of a long hike. Up there, you get to a level and then you think, oh, I'm here. And then there's like three more levels left. And so you keep getting to the top of something. And it was fun, but different than what I expected.
Yeah, I was wondering about that one, because my wife kind of asked about that one. I'm still, you know, we may even do it. You know, it's just one of those things. You know, Mallory, she's pretty athletic, you know, and of course Paige has grown at, you know, she's in college, she's an athlete, there's no problem there. But it's one of those things that I just want to make sure that it's worth the bang for your buck. You know, if you're spending the day there, every time you book a port adventure, you got to kind of think about it as a transaction, as it's your time and it's your, you know, you get X amount of hours in each of these ports, and they have a lot of unique experiences to be had. So if you book Duns River Falls, you're foregoing a lot of other opportunities in Jamaica. So it's one of those things, I'm always trying to look at it as a transaction. So I want to make sure that I get, you know, if I'm going to have that one day in Jamaica, that it's something that we, all four of us as a family, can appreciate and enjoy and really make those memories.
Sure. Yep.
Awesome. So the Castaway Key, did you guys go there? You said you sailed out of Puerto Rico. So on the Wonder, you guys stopped there as well?
We were sailing out of Puerto Rico in the last cruise, not the Disney Fantasy one. But
what I'm asking is, had you been there before? Was this your second time to Castaway
Cay? This is the first time to Castaway Cay.
Okay, yeah, because I think that's one of those places that you go there the first time and you're kind of, you're really excited for the island, but I think Castaway Cay is best handled by folks that have been there before, because you kind of know, okay, I get like 8 or 10 hours on the island and I really like this and I don't want to waste time doing that. So how did it go for you guys as first timers?
Well, we had fun. Unfortunately, because of the weather, they canceled our stingray experience. So that, but it's a beautiful beach. We got there, we swam a little bit, we went on the slide. One of my girls got salt water up the nose, so that wasn't so fun. But we played volleyball, we had our lunch, but then we went back to the ship. So we didn't even stay the whole day on the island, but that was a total win, because nobody was on the ship. I mean, we were going on the aqueduct with no line, and we watched a movie at the pool, and it was just an awesome day on the ship because it was everyone is out at the beach. So
that's a huge plus there. If you're not really beach people and you don't, Keswick is so much fun and I love cookies. Something's wrong with me because I think my best meal ever cruise is at Cookies. At the barbecue place. I love that stuff. Yeah. You're going to Palo and all this stuff and it's fancy and the food on the ship is amazing. But I'm telling you, man, give me that. I don't know. It's like a spicy chicken sandwich and some corn on the cob and some chips. I'm set. I'm a simple guy. That's the kind of stuff I like.
Yeah, it was pretty.
So now tell me about, you mentioned you guys went back to the ship. As far as being on the ship on a 7-night cruise, one of the things I love about cruising is the programming that the cruise lines provide. You get opportunities to learn about things if you want to. You get opportunities to go dancing with your significant other. You get opportunities to do game shows as families. Build stuff, learns. It's really, if you look at your navigator, which tells you what's happening around the ship each day, there's an opportunity for just about anything. So what kind of things really stood out to you in that week that you guys got to do on the ship?
Well, on Star Wars Day, we went to the Star Wars 101 lecture, which was done by a guy who works at Lucasfilm, and he showed a lot of the behind the scenes of as well as there's Star Wars 101, and then there was another like special effects behind the scenes of Star Wars, and both of those programs were just really cool and interesting. Learned a lot there. It was kind of like, well, I'm going to a school, but it was fun. I mean, it was more about something really interesting. We of course had great meals. You on the cruise, you're treated like royalty. Every evening, you have just amazing food, and it's kind of like, oh, here, you take one little bite of the lobster. This is not to my liking, And then it's like, or whatever. I mean, it's like anything that doesn't please you in the slightest. You can ask for a whole nother meal. It's totally like you're a king or queen in that case. And then the entertainment every night, the shows were amazing. We saw Buckets and Boards they were jugglers and variety performers. We saw the Wishes show. We saw Aladdin on board. They were all just amazing productions. And you're just wondering how they get all that stuff onto a ship.
I wonder how they perform because, some of the times, well, actually most of the times when you're seeing one of those live performances in the evening, which for those who haven't sailed, there's two basically dining shifts. There's a main dining and a late dining. And if you're a main diner, you have the late show. And if you're eating late, you get the early show. So you flip flop. So half the ship's doing one or the other if they choose. But what I've always, been so amazed by is that a lot of times you're out at sea when those shows are going on. And sometimes the ship, it doesn't move a whole lot, especially the big ships like the Fantasy and the Dream. But, they'll move from time to time, depending on the weather. And the thing is, those dancers, they'll be doing Step in Time or something, in one of the shows and just getting it, But, like, the ship's moving. Not only are they amazing dancers, but that stage is a rocking a little bit. When I stop to think about that, because I don't think you think about it, you're, like, amazed by the show. But those people are talented on many levels when it comes to things like that.
Yeah, sure. Gives you a different dimension for dancing, I guess.
Yeah, because I can't dance regular. You're not going to do a little disco in the club. That's about it. And it's ugly. I can tell you, it's very ugly. People will see that in about a month here on the Fantasy. I'll bring a new ugly to dancing that the Fantasy's never seen, at least since Dry Dock. We'll have to see how it goes.
Sure.
So now you mentioned, though, that let's talk about the meals here for a second because you rotate. That's one thing Disney Cruise Line does better than everybody else. The rotational dining, you keep your wait staff with you, but you go through different experiences. And on a 7-night cruise, you kind of hit everything twice. So you get to see, some special things. So what dining room really stood out to you or maybe even your girls? Like, did they say one was their favorite?
Well, my favorite, I think, was the Art of Animation because I just like you draw on a placemat some cartoon character, and then you get to see it live animated on the screen during dinner. I thought that was really a cool experience. All the food was just amazing. In fact, we didn't do any of the specialized. We didn't do Remy or Paolo. It was really hard for my wife and I to just say, the food is so amazing in just the standard dining rooms. hard to imagine they could even be a step above that. But and so that was the one place where we maybe saved a little money by not doing that. But maybe some other time.
You know, I feel exactly the same way, you know, because when I look at like Royal Court or Royal Palace, depending on the ship, and, you know, Enchanted Garden and Animator's Palette and all these restaurants, like if I had that restaurant in St. Louis, that'd be like the fanciest night out that we would have of the year, you know. So when I go to Palo, I usually do it just because we're doing a group and we're going to go to brunch or something. But it's one of those things I don't need to wait. You know, I shouldn't say waste it, because a lot of folks want that really exclusive fine dining. But for my taste, I mean, it's so fancy in the main dining rooms that I can totally go without it and I'm not feeling like I'm missing anything. So I totally get what you're saying, you know, because it's definitely a step up than, you know, from what most of us get day to day.
Yeah, no, it was amazing food. So much selection, and just they went out of their way. At first, we had been seated at like kind of a table off in the corner, and we just told them, you know, like, oh, you know, we'd like to be more in the action, and they made adjustments and moved us more into a table that was around other people, so we felt more of the more involved. And they definitely, I mean, being able to talk to any of the crew members and learn their stories and getting personal attention, that's part of the fun, is just to kind of learn about how they live at sea. And we're still connected on Facebook to our servers from our first trip that we went on, the Disney Wonder.
Yeah, you know what? That's so true. And I think you got to sail to understand that, because I'm the same way. Like, we look back on our pictures from, you know, cruises gone by, whether they're podcast cruises or we've sailed in, you know, off years with friends, that your serving staff, they really do strive to, you know, take great care of you when it comes to your dining needs. But you may see them in the morning up at the buffet, you know, up at Cabanas or something like that, you know, and they're not necessarily serving you like they do at dinner, but they might ask you, oh yeah, you know, how'd the karaoke go last night? Cause that's what you're going to do after dinner. You know, what'd you think of the show? And you do build a relationship. And I think it's hard to believe, because when you go to a restaurant, typically you're not really, you know, building a relationship with your serving team, but you do. And I think that's what Disney Cruise Line really, you know, hit the home run with, the rotational dining, because, you know, I want to tip them better because they're taking great care of me. I'm invested and they take great care of the kids. I mean, did you notice that? I mean, they're really, really good with the kids, because kids can be cranky when they're out of their routines, but I see them, you know, time and time again, really coming up with amazing strategies, whether it's a magic trick or something. They're so good with families.
Yeah. They just feel like, they feel like they're part of your family by the end of the cruise. And it's the little things, like my daughter ordered a Shirley Temple and I just said like, oh, she really liked the cherries. And so then the next night at dinner, she's got that drink in front of her with a whole bowl of cherries next to it. You know, it's like just going overboard in what they know you like and giving it to you.
Yeah, that's so true. They get to know you and they want to please you. That's so awesome. Now, let me ask you a little bit more about the you know, you mentioned some of the Star Wars programming you did. Did you guys do any like family karaoke? Did you spend time in the D lounge, maybe, you know, towel folding, or did you watch the diaper dash? I mean, those are some of the classics there. What kind of programming did you do?
Yeah, we did see the diaper dash. We did several of the things, karaoke. My daughter did karaoke. On Star Wars Day, you sign up to get your photos taken with a couple of, you kind of get your choice of two out of five different options. You have to choose your first and second choice, and then they assign you to that. And so we ended up getting our photo taken with C-3PO and R2-D2, and then a separate session where we were with Darth Vader. And those photo sessions by themselves were just quite the experience. And, you know, interesting, funny, comical. I mean, you wouldn't think, okay, it's funny to have your photo taken with Darth Vader, but you know, we had a Darth Vader already in our midst with my daughter. And so when we get into line, they lined us all up as a family, like we're ready for the photo. And then Darth Vader walks in and he stands like right in front of all of us, so you can't even see us in the camera. Kind of Darth Vader-like, I think. And so we kind of had to move off to the side to make way for Darth Vader. And then he actually talks to you and says some of his kind of anti-Jedi things. It was fun.
Yeah, you're just like, he's not driving the ship, you know, with the Sith Lord, you know, it'll take you to the dark side for sure. But, you know, I think that's one of those things, though, when you have these themed cruises, and I think this is what I enjoy about the podcast cruise the most, is you got a lot of like-minded people on one ship. And not only are you going to, you know, really exotic places and fun places, and, you know, just as soon as you step on a cruise ship, really, you're leaving your worries behind. It's going to be a week of fun. You can, you know, nobody's driving, nobody's, you know, hopefully not working, you know, and you're spending that quality time with your family. But when you have a reason to get a bunch of people together, and like in your cruise, I'm sure you had a lot of, you know, Star Wars fanatics if you looked around, but, you know, even with our podcast cruise, you know, we have so many like-minded Disney friends that care about spending time together. There's really no environment like it, because really you are sailing away and leaving your, you know, cares back at the dock. And did you feel that? Because I totally feel that every time I step on a ship.
Yeah. And you're talking about programming. I'm also a magician and juggler. And so my wife has seen her share of magic and juggling shows and pretty much has had her fill. But the amazing thing is, on the Disney cruise, you know, there were jugglers, there were magicians, but she really enjoyed them. They're like notch, and she's like telling me, these guys are really funny, you know. and so seeing, you know, it's just totally quality programming. We did the magnets on our doors as well. That was something we did for the first time, where we made magnets of our family, you know, like in the Star Wars theme and the Mickey Mouse theme and beach theme. And so the kids had fun just like changing the magnets out each day, so that when we walked down the hallway, we'd know which room was ours, and kind of express some of our individuality of our family and who we are.
That's fun. Well, you know, too, and I mean, nowadays on the ships, you know, at least my last few sailings with Disney Cruise Line, if you don't have magnets on your door, that's the weird thing. You know, there's so many people that are so creative. I enjoy it. It's almost like if you go to Fort Wilderness at Christmas at Walt Disney World, you know, seeing how people individually decorate their campsites. It's kind of a similar experience. You go down the halls, and man, those halls are long on the Fantasy and the Dream. You get to see some awesome creative doors. People are so creative. And then you know what you do? You steal the idea and use it on your sailing. So that's what you do.
Yeah, no, and then you feel like you're kind of part of the club.
Yeah,
you
know, exactly. Yeah,
you've been there before. You may not do it on your first cruise because you don't know exactly, you know, how that fits in. But and then we did a tour of kind of behind the scenes of the ship itself, and they took us around and showed us some of the artwork and some of the stories behind that. We went into Remy and saw the $15,000 bottle of wine that's the same one that is in the Pixar movie and things like that. So
that's something I definitely want to do on the sailing. Because, you know, when you got a 7-night cruise, you have more time. When you're doing these 4 and 5 nighters, you know, even 3-nighters, you just don't have the luxury of being able to do everything. You know, and you still can't do everything on a 7-nighter, but you obviously have more time to do things. Let me ask you one other thing here before we get out of here and turn everybody loose and let everybody get back to work, unfortunately. You know, you guys mentioned you did costumes, you did magnets, so that takes a lot of pre-planning. So right now we're about a month away, but if folks want to, you know, they were thinking, man, I'm not going to wear a pirate costume on our cruise, and they decide, you know what, that sounds like a lot of fun. What kind of resources did you pull together to get ready for your cruise? Like, how'd you make your costumes? Where'd you get it? You know, magnets and stuff like that. What could they be doing today, a month out, to make their cruise even better here in July?
Well, I think that's one of the great things about, you know, traveling and planning a vacation like this, is that you get the anticipation up front. So you get to do some fun things that are in anticipation of the actual trip. You get to experience the trip, and then you get the memories afterwards. So you're kind of winning three ways over. But we've spent a lot of time up front, you know, like just We searched the internet for magnet ideas and things like that. And then we drew them up and we printed them out on the inkjet printer and laminated them, put some magnetic tape on the back. So they were completely customized, but we did them ourselves as a kind of a art project. We bought our costumes on Amazon.com. You can just basically search and find it, almost anything there. Some people, I'm sure, could make them if they're more into sewing or creativity that way. But you get people on board that get T-shirts that match as a family, things like that. You know, so those are all projects and activities that you can use to bring your family together or whoever you're going with, even before the trip happens.
100% agree. You know, you got to make the experience more than just the time you're at Walt Disney World or sailing with the Disney Cruise Line. You know, that's why I enjoy what I do, you know, helping people plan trips, because it needs to start from the time you get the idea to go on that adventure. And then, you know, after the trip, you have those memories forever that you can talk about and look back on. And I'm glad we got the opportunity to do this today. It's a great way to start a week. Tim, thanks so much for checking in from Minnesota, and you know, smooth sailing on that next Disney cruise, because once you do a couple, you're kind of hooked for life. So thanks again for sharing the memories. I'm so excited. I can't wait to get on the Fantasy here in a month.
Yeah, you have a lot of fun.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
I appreciate it. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends. We've got two great sponsors. Remember, Father's Day is in 2 weeks. This is a great opportunity to support the show, support our sponsors, and really give the dads in your life something that they would appreciate and enjoy. It's better than a tie. So first of all, drop by thewisdomofwalt.com. Pick up this great book. You know, it's summertime. Your dad might have some more time on his hands if he's a Disney fan. This is a great way to read about Walt Disney, that ultimate father figure, and how he chased his, you know, dreams down. He worked very hard, but he also had a creative side to him, and he had a way that he worked with people, and that really brought out the best in those around him. And author Jeff Barnes leaves these lessons for us right here in the book so that we can all improve our lives. And it's just a pleasurable book to read. It helps you improve yourself. It's just great in many ways. Great Father's Day present. You can get that over on Amazon. You can get a soft copy, a hardcover. You can even pick up a personally signed copy over at thewisdomofwalt.com. So check that out. Also, don't forget, if you get into Crunch, you know what? It's better than an e-gift card. You know, it could be Saturday night, the night before Father's Day. It could be Father's Day, you know, the day itself. Just go to touringplans.com, get your dad's email address, pick them up a premium subscription. They're going to be out of lines for the next 365 days. They're going to have menus with prices, everything they need to plan a great Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. So check them out as well over at touringplans.com. And when you do that shopping, you know, any kind of shopping for Father's Day, if you're getting a costume for the podcast cruise or anything you're doing, support the show. It's absolutely free to you. It supports us. It really does help us out. So go through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. The next time you do your online shopping, we'd really, really appreciate that. So please do support the show on Instagram and Twitter. Drop by, join the community. We're at brguestmike on Instagram and Twitter. And we've got an amazing Facebook group at facebook.com/beourguestpodcast. And one more thing here on a Monday, we'd really, really appreciate it if you would just subscribe to the show on whatever app you use to find your podcast, whether it's Pocket Cast or Instacast or Overcast or Diecast. Or, I don't think there's a Diecast, but there's lots of cast apps, even if it's the Apple, you know, generic app there. When you subscribe to the show, you'll always have the latest Be Our Guest podcast right there on your device. And even if you don't have internet connectivity for some reason, you got the show, something to listen to in the car or maybe on a walk. So subscribe to the show through iTunes or whatever you listen to the show on. We really appreciate that. All right, well, it's time to get out of here. Let you get back to work, unfortunately, but we'll be back again on Wednesday answering your listener questions. So for Tim, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to hop back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.